waiting for the Lord to come until you get tired of this life. Amen. A lot of this life is just simply a matter of tolerance and putting up with things. Amen. Thank God for what He's done. Thank God for all of His grace and all of His goodness. But I tell you, I've seen something better. And when you see something better, it's hard to make do with what you have. Amen. Amen. Bless your heart. Open your Bibles tonight now to the book of Exodus chapter 30. We're going to finish chapter 30 tonight. We're going to talk about the sweet incense. Well, praise the Lord. He's not only great. I'm going to tell you, He's sweet. It's hard for somebody with absolute power to remain sweet, ain't it? Huh? You look at the great dictatorships of the world that there have been through the past. We have found out that absolute power corrupts. Absolutely. It's hard to find the so-called benevolent dictator. Amen. So how in the world do you reckon God remains sweet when He has absolute power of everything? Amen. Because that is His pure and holy character. Amen. That's what's on the inside of God in His heart, and therefore that's what comes out of God. Boy, I'm glad tonight to know that He's my God and that He loves us. He's a sweet God. Amen. Exodus chapter 30 and verse number 34. Reading four verses, the Bible says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Take unto thee sweet spices, stacked, and onycha, and galbanum, these sweet spices with pure frankincense. Of each shall there be a like weight," or an equal weight. "Thou shalt make it a perfume, a confection after the art of the apothecary, tempered together, pure and holy. And thou shalt beat some of it very small, and put of it before the testimony in the tabernacle of the congregation, where I will meet with thee. It shall be unto you most holy. And as for the perfume which thou shalt make, ye shall not make to yourselves according to the composition thereof. It shall be unto thee holy for the Lord. Whosoever shall make like unto that to smell thereto shall even be cut off from his people." A warning that we have become aware of in previous passages. Now, if you go back to the first of the chapter, you'll remember that the first thing we talked about in this chapter was the article of furniture that was known as the altar of incense. In the Scripture, otherwise called or known as the golden altar, for it was made of gold, in contrast to the one in the courtyard out there that was made of brass. And this incense that we're going to talk about tonight, or this perfume, if you will, because that's the emphasis of it here, is the odor that it puts off, was taken to that golden altar in the holy place, and there it was ignited, or dropped upon the coals off of the brazen altar that was out in the courtyard. And so tonight, we're going to look at, if you will, this sweet incense that the Lord instructed Moses here for the children of Israel to make. First of all, let's take for a moment in time and focus upon the elements of this incense. We find that as with the anointing oil, that there are four ingredients or elements, if you will, to the incense. And these incense were particles or elements were put together in an equal measurement. Now, you'll notice here that there's no specific measurement of how much to take of a certain thing as was before, 500 shekels, 250 shekels, as previously mentioned in the anointing oil. In other words, the only specific instructions that are given is that you are to use equal parts of each element. Other than that, you could make whatever quantity you wanted just as long as the elements were equal. Well, that lack of a definitive measurement there tells us that what this incense is going to talk about is unlimited in its provision. It is without limit. Well, now, we're going to be talking about the graces of God once more, and we know that God's grace is without measure. In other words, there's no sinner too low, There's no man too wicked that the grace of God can't reach down and save him. Amen. Some of the best preachers I've ever heard in my life, like old Oliver B. Green, were individuals who were the wickedest of the wicked. Amen. But when God saved them by His limitless grace, He made tremendous men of God out of him. Amen. Not only that, but the equalness of these parts could also point to the equality of the Godhead. Now we have a problem sometime comprehending the fact that we serve one God, as the Shema, Deuteronomy 6:6 says, but yet he's a God that is revealed in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. However, those three in one are equal in every way, amen. There's no high-ranking Father, no mid-ranking Son, nor no low-ranking Spirit. They all are equal in character, power, and authority. God the Holy Spirit is just as much a God as God the Son or God the Father as the other parts are. Amen. He's a God and He's equal in all of the manifestations of His Godhead that He reveals unto us. Now notice these four unusual, we might say, spices that are mentioned here that are going to make up this sweet perfume or incense. The first one is a word revealed in verse 34. Stacked. Now, I guess that's how you say that. If it's not, that's all right too. Amen. Many words in the Bible are hard to say, but that's the way I'm going to say it. Stacked. It looks like it might be a short A there, but this was a spice that came from a bush, if you will, there in the Middle East. This spice was taken from the branches of this little bush. It literally oozed between the bark and it came out in drops and dropped off of the branches of this bush. And when you examine this word, if you have a concordance later, look up the root word of it, you'll find that this word stacked here literally means to drop, because it came off of the bush in drops. Now, this element here of the incense that we put upon the altar was identified by the rabbis, the Hebrew rabbis, as being the foundation for what Jeremiah called the balm of Gilead. If you want to turn to Jeremiah chapter 8, you can look at a beautiful verse. Jeremiah was a prophet. He was a preacher. And the Bible describes him as the weeping prophet. There at one point, he cries out and he says in verse number 1 of chapter 9, as a matter of fact, "Oh, that my head were waters and mine eyes were a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people." He was so burdened about his nation, he was so burdened about the people of God, that he became known as the weeping prophet. Now, in the world's eye today, you can't be a man and cry. But I want to tell you, God looks at things different, amen. God, the Bible says, is nigh unto those that are of a broken heart and a contrite spirit. It's hard to be in that state, my friend, without weeping, whether you be man, woman, boy, or girl. Amen. And so Jeremiah, in writing this scathing of his people with the burden of the Lord on his heart in Jeremiah 8:22, said this. He said, "Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered?" What he was saying was this: my people are sick. My nation is sick. The people of God are sick because they have forsaken the one who has the ability to heal them. Now, I want to tell you, the question is redundant. He's saying, is there no medicinal balm, from which this word stacked comes from, in Gilead? Is there no physician? In other words, are you sick because there is not a doctor available? Are you sick because there's no medicine available? He's saying, no, that's not so. He's saying there is a medicine available for your ailment. There is a physician that can heal you of your ailment. You are sick because you want to be sick. You like the way you are. Amen. Now, that's contrary to common sense thinking, is it not? But yet such is the depraved, reprobate heart of mankind. Amen. Man so loves his sin that he had rather pay the consequences for his sin because he loves it so great than to seek the Lord of healing, who has the balm and the ointment for his sin. And so, I believe that this spice here represents that power of the Lord Jesus, that grace of the Lord Jesus that reveals itself in healing power. Amen. One of his titles is this, the great physician. Amen. He said that when he, unto those Pharisees, there's going to come a time when you're going to say unto me this proverb, physician, heal thyself. Why would that be so? Because, my friend, for 3.5 years, he healed every sick individual he ran across. Amen. He healed every one of them, brought some back from the dead. He opened the eyes of the blind. He healed things that no earthly physical physician could heal. There was nothing that he could not do. And so after all that he did, as he hung on that cross, they remembered what he did. And mocking him, they said, physician, heal thyself. What were they saying? He healed so many other people, and look at the state that he is in. My friend, what a great picture, a revelation of the depravity of man's sin. Amen. I want to tell you that this element of this spice, which represents the graces of our Savior, the Lord Jesus, pictures for us his healing power. Amen. And his healing power finds its basis in his offering that he offered for us when he died on Calvary's tree. Now, you've got to keep in mind the fact that this incense was ignited by the hot coals that came off the brazen altar where the innocent victim died. Amen. And so, this stack, if you will, identifies with this balm of Gilead, and so it represents for us the grace of God's healing power. Praise the Lord. Well, now, let's go on to this other one that I call simply onature, whatever that happens to be, right or not, who knows. But anyway, if you look it up in a dictionary, a Bible dictionary, you're going to find that an onature was a shellfish, like a clam or an oyster, some type of shellfish. And this spice, if you will, this element, was derived from beating the shell of this particular critter into a fine powder. And so it didn't come from a tree. It didn't come from a root, didn't come from a leaf or a fruit, but it came from a creature that lived in the water. If you trace the name onycha to its Hebrew root, you'll find that it literally means to roar loudly. Well, now, I don't know if this thing made a racket in the water or not, but obviously God knew something about it that we didn't know whenever he inspired it to be put into its word. And so when we think about this onycha and the root being that of roaring loudly or making a loud noise, then I see in it a picture not of his healing power now, but of his hearing power. If we want somebody to hear us that right now apparently is not listening to us, then we speak a little bit louder, don't we? Amen. Well, that's what the root of this word means. It means to roar like a lion and to make something very loud. I want to tell you something. The world today is not listening to the Word of God. They're not hearing the voice of God. Amen. But I want to tell you, God's ears are wide open. Amen. And they hear the intercessory prayers that ascend to his ear in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Amen. I want to tell you something. One of these days, they're going to hear him. The Bible said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Amen. When he came the first time, he was meek and lowly. He was a lamb, bless your heart, and not many people paid attention to him except those to whom he was attractive. Amen. I want to tell you, when he returns the next time, the whole world's going to sit up and listen. Amen. They may not have heard or observed his meekness. Amen. They may have overlooked his mild-mannered word in this life. I want to tell you, they're going to hear when he roars as the lion, bless your heart, whenever he returns. So I want to tell you, that incense that descended to God as it was ignited upon the coals based upon his sacrificial offering on that altar out there, neighbor, it brought for you and I healing. It brings for you and I assurance that God hears us when we pray. Praise the Lord. Why? Because this onycha is a picture of his hearing power. Now in 1 John chapter 5, the apostle there wrote about our assurances of salvation. Now I want you to listen in 1 John 5:13 what he said. He said, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. In other words, I'm writing to you saved folks, he says. That you may know that you have eternal life, eliminate all doubts, and that you may believe, continue to trust, a perpetual action verb there, on the name of the Son of God. Now listen to what he said in verse 14. And this is the confidence, assurance that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. Now, you say, well, the Lord hasn't been answering my prayers lately. Well, let me ask you something. Have you been praying according to His will? Isn't that what He just said? That we can have one confident aspect in our life, and that is this. If we ask anything of God according to His will, you can be guaranteed of one thing, that He has a hearing ear, amen. That we have hearing power through the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Well, now, how do you find His will? There's only one way I know to find God's will in this life, and that's right here in my hand. If you want to know how God feels about anything, then you open the book and you look and see what He says. And unless you know the Word of God, unless you have some of the Word of God in your heart, then how are you going to pray? You're going to pray selfishly. You're going to pray ignorantly. Amen. And you're going to pray outside of the will of God. But I want to tell you one thing. You ask anything in this book that is within the will of God, that is designed for the perfection of the saints, then, honey, I can assure you God will give it to you. James said, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God that gives how? Liberally. That means, I hate the word liberal in the secular sense, but I like it in God's sense, amen. It means that God gives without limitation, amen, for the man that asks for wisdom from God. Now, I want to tell you, you're not going to hear words bouncing off the wall. You're not going to hear words out of the television from God, bless your heart. You're going to have to get them from His book, amen. And so, these spices going up declare unto us the healing power through the grace of our high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the hearing power that we have through Him. We can be assured that though heaven may be how many light years from here, we don't know, or what dimension that it's in, no matter where it's at, God can hear our voice through Him. Amen. That sweet incense that goes up. All right, let's move on. The next element of this incense is called galbanum. Galbanum. Now, galbanum came from the gum of a tree over there in the Middle East, and it had a pungent odor of its own. Really didn't smell very good by itself. So how you know that, preacher? Looked it up in the dictionary. I don't know what galbanum is. I'd find somebody who does know what it is. And what I found out in this dictionary was that it had a pungent odor of its own. Didn't really smell good by itself. But whatever it was mixed with, it magnified its odor. Ain't that something? In other words, it was a selfless spice. It was a selfless gum. It didn't seek to magnify itself, but it magnified whatever it was mixed with. Amen. Dictionary said it was a relative of parsley. Very strange, ain't it? I never noticed anything about parsley. I never figured out why they put it on your plate. It has to be for prettiness. Amen. But this had an odor. And from the root of that word, it means the richest or the finest. In other words, literally, the best. Now, what can we learn from this? I believe that we see in this gum galbanum, which was mixed with this incense to be burnt before God, the heightening power of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Never did He magnify Himself. Oh, you know what the devil has tried to do from time immemorial? To magnify Himself. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Huh? Pride, magnification of self. Neighbor, Jesus never did do that. Whenever Jesus was led in the wilderness after He was baptized to face the devil there, one of the temptations that the devil pulled on Him was this. He took Him up to the pinnacle of the temple, and He said there, jump off of this place. Why? When you jump off here and you bounce off that ground, you get up and ain't nothing wrong with you, and people see what you are and you magnify yourself, you won't have any trouble getting a following, will you? Amen. If Jesus had done that, He'd be done the same thing that Satan did in heaven. Amen. He'd have magnified Himself and exalted Himself in pride. And Jesus said, no, 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 that's not what's written in the Word of God. Amen. And so I want you to understand something, that in this incense we see a picture of His healing power and His hearing power, but I also believe in His heightening power, the selflessness of our Lord Jesus Christ who gave Himself for us. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, there's a beautiful verse there as pertains to Him. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9, listen to what it says. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's what we're talking about. His grace is as revealed in this incense. That though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Bless your heart. He that was rich became poor, not in order to magnify himself, but in order to magnify you and me, in order to make you and I rich. In the book of Romans, chapter 15, and the first three verses say this: we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good, to edification. Verse 3, listen. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. Praise the Lord. I want to tell you something. This picture is not a picture of the exaltation of Christ, but it is a picture of what he did for us in his denying himself and taking reproach upon him, that you and I might be magnified before God in the work that he did for us. Amen. Brother, I tell you, I've got nothing to brag on before God. But I want to tell you, I don't have to have anything to brag on before God. Amen. Jesus paid it all. He did everything that was necessary to satisfy God, to please God on my behalf. So, man, I can rejoice tonight because he has given me a heightening power I never had before. Amen. So much so that the Bible says that our citizenship is in heaven. I tell you, I don't know about you, but that's just about as high as you can get. Amen. And you know how we got it, neighbor? We got it by him denying himself. Amen. Yes, Lord, and exalting us. All right, let's go on. It said here also that it's to be mixed with frankincense. Frankincense. Now, we remember that at the birth of Christ, that the magi, the wise men from the east, came, and they brought frankincense and myrrh. Myrrh was associated with his death, but frankincense certainly was not. Frankincense was a very sweet spice from the Middle East. And if you look up its root word, you find that it literally means white. Matter of fact, one place in the Bible, you can find where the word moon is translated by the same word that is translated here, frankincense. The emphasis upon it is its white color. For whenever you burn frankincense, it gives off a pure white smoke. Amen. Some things burn black, some things burn white. Frankincense burns in a very pure whiteness. And so that is the focus of the attention on this frankincense. Not only its sweetness, but also its whiteness. Amen. Well, we know that in Scripture, white always points to what? Righteousness. Amen. Righteousness. Therefore, this spice, frankincense, points toward his hallowed power, or his holy power, if you will. Jesus taught the disciples to pray, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." What does that word hallowed mean? It's the same word hagios that in the New Testament is translated holy. And so what's he saying? He's saying, holy is thy name. Amen. And so what we see in this frankincense, neighbor, is the holiness of Christ, the righteousness of Christ, whereby he approaches the unapproachable holy God for you and I in intercession. And so what we see pictured here is the effectiveness of his prayer and intercession for us based upon what happened out at the brazen altar when he gave himself for us. The ministry of Christ, we know that it began in his baptism, but yea, my friend, it began before that and extended beyond that, and his heavenly ministry began after he died on Calvary. I want you to know that a price had to be paid before intercession could be made. Let's move on quickly. Let's move on to the experience of this incense. What does the Bible tell us about this incense? What happened to it? Right quickly, two things. Number one, it was beaten. Now, what it said, it was beaten very small. Obviously, when it was put together, being a combination, it probably packed pretty tight. So whenever they were going to take some into that holy place, they broke off some, and then it was beaten very small, amen, into a fine powder. Matter of fact, the Bible talks about it being here
tempered together. It was beaten to a fine powder and sprinkled upon those coals in order that it might ignite and burn thoroughly. To be acceptable before God, you couldn't carry a wedge in there. You didn't carry a chunk in there. It wasn't effective. It wouldn't burn. Amen. It wouldn't have functioned like it should have. And so, in order for it to be acceptable, it had to be beaten. Amen. Now, what do we think about when we think about the person of the Lord Jesus we're talking about here and the beating? You know what we're talking about? We're talking about what he experienced from man. What he experienced from man. What did he experience? He experienced being beaten. In Isaiah 53 and verse 5, that great prophetic chapter that anticipated his coming and his sacrifice, they said this: "But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." Amen. I want to tell you something. I thank God that he heals us physically, but the implication and the emphasis of that verse is not on these mortal bodies, but our immortal ones to come. Amen. He healed me of my sickness of sin. My sin problem was what he healed primarily on Calvary, and he manifested the reality of that by healing men's physical bodies when he was here. You remember when the man was sick of the palsy, and he went there to heal him? Matter of fact, there in the temple, and he told the man, he didn't say, "All right, you're healed." What did he say? He said, "Your sins be forgiven." He didn't say, "Boy, I'll heal you." He said, "Your sins be forgiven you." Because of that, the Pharisees, "Wait a minute, what's this fellow saying? What's he saying here? Nobody can forgive sins but God." But the man got up and walked. So Jesus said, "What be easier to say? Thy sins be forgiven thee, arise, take up your bed and walk." What he was saying, this: I said the one and the other happened to show you that what I said was a reality, because if it wasn't, he had never got up and took the bed and walked. And so that man getting up and walking was a picture and a proving of the fact that what Jesus had said concerning his sins was a reality. And that's what they hated him for. And they made plans from that point on to crucify him or to have him murdered. Amen. Even tried themselves a couple of times. And so he was beaten with many stripes. But he was beaten not for himself, but he was beaten for you and me. So this beating is a picture of what he experienced from man. Not only was it beaten, but it was burned. The incense was burned daily on those coals. Every time the priest went in to trim those lamps, morning and evening, he would take of that incense and he would take the coals off of the brazen altar, put them on the golden altar, and sprinkle the incense on there. And it would fill that holy place with that sweet perfume of God. Amen. Amen. All of us like a good smell, good, don't we? But it had to be burned. Now the beating is a picture of what Jesus experienced at the hands of man, but the burning is a picture of what Jesus experienced at the hand of God. Amen. I want to tell you something. Man didn't kill Jesus. The Bible said he laid his life down. Amen. God allowed men to do the things that they did to him. But I want to tell you something. When he hung upon that cross, amen, he was not paying for his own sin. He was there, my friend, to expose himself as a sacrificial lamb for the judgment of God for my sins and your sins. Therefore, after he hung there 3 hours, the whole land became dark, the Bible says, at noon. And it says at that point that God turned his back on his own son, and he bare the separation from the Godhead for the first time ever, neighbor, for my sins and your sins. Amen. That incense, in order to be effective, it had to be beaten. It had to be burned. Praise the Lord. I want you to tell you it was, and I want to tell you something else. It was effective. Now let's go on to the excellence of this incense. Note how the incense is described and demanded here. It says in verse 37 and 38 that it is to be pure and holy. Pure and holy. It shall be unto thee most holy. Verse 37, it shall be unto thee holy. Verse 35, the latter part, tempered together, pure and holy. So it is described as being excellent. Amen. It must be pure without contamination, bless your heart. Without mixture, without being changed any way whatsoever. All those things are implied by that word pure. Peter said, "Don't you know that you weren't redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold received from the vain conversation of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without without spot. It all had to be pure because it is a picture not only of him but of his intercessing as our high priest and as of his graces. Amen. To be effective, it must be pure. Had to be done God's way. No counterfeit. Huh? The Bible said there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Now, I want to tell you, I can't usurp that authority upon myself. You don't have to come to Donnie Murphy to receive forgiveness of sins. Amen. We have a mediator, even the man Christ Jesus. Amen. You do it any other way, and neighbor, you're committing the very sin that this Word of God talks about here. Bless your heart. It's exclusive. It's to be pure. It's to be holy. It's not to be made for yourself as a perfume. Or anybody who does that would pay the penalty by being cut off from his people. Amen. And so it's got to be done God's way. Doesn't matter what religion you are. Doesn't matter what denomination you are. What faith you are. You'd better be sure that you do it God's way. And the only way that is through the one door, the one gate, through the man Christ Jesus as our only mediator. Amen. But it not only had to be pure, but it had to be holy. What does that word mean? It means it was holy for God. This perfume wasn't for man. It was for God. Jesus never had to ask a man for anything any more than God the Father did. He never had to beg. He didn't need anything from man. He came to do things from man, not to take anything from man, contrary to the view that people have today about God, that all he's after is your money and to take fun out of your life. Amen? He came to do for man and to give for man and not to take anything from man, bless your heart. This incense was holy for God. It portrays for us the relationship of God the Father and God the Son, what he did for us on Calvary's tree and what he's doing for us right now as our great high intercessor there at the right hand of the throne of God. So this relationship between God the Father and God the Son through the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God in the picture of the smoke that ascends upward with a sweet perfume. Amen. Praise the Lord. Had to be excellent. Someone wrote a book. What was it called? Living Above the Level of Mediocrity, I believe it was called. Never read it, but I always thought it was a great title for a message. Amen. Many of us live way far below the standard of living that we really ought to be living as God's people. We miss out on so many of the blessings and the goodness and the graces of God simply because we keep ourselves in that position, amen, by not realizing the excellence that is made available to you and I through the grace and intercession of our lovely Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's talk about the exposition of this incense. What does it mean? What's it all about? Well, in the Bible, the offering of incense implies three things. First of all, it implies the offering of prayer. The offering of prayer. In the book of Revelation, chapter 5, we see the 24 elders there. The 24 elders in Revelation chapter 5. And verse 6 through 8, we see them before the throne where the Lamb is sitting. And listen to what they're doing there in verses 6 through 8. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a Lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns, seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he'd taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. What are they? They are odors. Odors, thus implying the very thing we're talking about, incense. In Revelation chapter 8, we see a further picture in verse number 3, where he said, I saw another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. Where was the golden altar? The altar of incense. It was right before the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant was. Where was the cherubim? Where between dwelt the very presence of God, therefore representing the throne of God. So we see that picture once again here in the very last book of the Bible. And we're studying the second book of the Bible. And the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, and notice that the which came is in italics, ascended up before God out of the angels' hands. And so incense in the Bible represents prayers, amen. Now, we don't need to go around today swinging a smoking bucket to be able to pray, amen. It was a type, a shadow, a picture of our prayers, bless your heart. All we have to do to pray is to lift our heads or put them down, whichever you choose, and talk to God based upon what Jesus has done for us. And just as that smoke carried the sweet perfume heavenward, bless your heart, the graces of the Lord Jesus carries our prayers to the throne of God. And so, burning of incense implies prayer in the Bible. But not only that, it implies praise or worship, if you will. That sweet perfume being offered there, bless your heart, sweetened that place up. And that priest could walk around in there, look at the illuminating light of the candlestick, look at that beautiful table with the loaves of bread and the provision of God there, and he could just worship God and thank God for the blood that allowed him entrance into this grand and holy and sweet-smelling place. Amen. And so this incense implies worship or praise. Now, there's an interesting verse in Malachi, the last verse of the last chapter of the Old Testament, Malachi 1 and verse 11. Listen to this. He said, "For from the rising of the sun, even unto the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles." Who are the Gentiles? That's everybody that was not born of the seed of Abraham. In other words, that is every individual who is not a Jew. Amen. So he's talking about me and you. Listen, he said his name's going to be great. "And in every place incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering, for my name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts." Now, I won't tell you, that went against the grain for the Jew, bless your heart. That went against their racist, nationalistic feeling, bless your heart, for God to say that about a relationship with the Gentiles. But you and I know that the New Testament reveals to us the church that has been purchased with his blood, being calling the Gentiles who sat in darkness, having seen a great light, bless your heart. So I want to tell you, there are Gentiles all across this world today who are worshiping and praising God. And that incense is just simply a picture of that. Amen. It's a sweet perfume, denoting, my friend, that offering of the grace, the gift of God, of Jesus, of himself, to God the Father, and our worship that goes to the Father through him. Jesus said, whenever you pray, how pray? Pray in his name. Pray in his name. Maybe you can't go to God in the name of Buddha, Allah, anybody else, somebody names. Amen. You've got to go through him. So burning of incense implies prayer. It implies praise. It implies petition. Not for individual self, but for another. Therefore, it implies intercession. Amen. It is a picture of the intercession of the Lord Jesus Christ for you and me. The Bible says that having offered himself, he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God there to intercede for you and me. In the book of Romans chapter 8 and verse 26, it directs our attention to that issue. He says there, "Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know, when we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints," listen, "according to the will of God." There we see it again. And down in verse 34 of that same chapter, he asks this question, "Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died out there on the brazen altar, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us." And so, this incense portrays for us the offering, the sweet offering of sweet Jesus to our God and Father on our behalf and not his own. Amen. Jesus prayed for himself one time. Do you remember that? In the Gospel of Luke. The Bible said he went out taking Peter, James, and John, told them to watch, to pray also. The Bible said that he called out to his Father there and said, "Father, if there's any other way, my hour's come. If there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. Yet not my will, but thine be done." He prayed for himself in this life. Why? Because he was in that human body. And he was functioning in the power and environment of that human body. And he had to keep himself sinless and perfect to face, yea, this hour, when because of my sin and your sin, God his Father would turn his back upon him for 3 long hours. even unto his death. Amen. But having done that, and having been victorious over death and snatching the keys of death and hell from the gates of hell, he sits now at the right hand of the throne of God, no longer praying for himself, but praying for you and me. Now you read Romans 8. You read the book of Romans, and here's what Paul's talking about. Yea, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. I want to tell you, a true, saved, born-again Christian is not a loser. He is a victor, a conqueror. And the world may look at you, they may look at me and say, they are a loser. They're missing out on all the grand fun things in life. I mean, I don't see what they live for. It just seems like such a cruel life to me, amen. I mean, nothing that they seem to do could possibly bring any satisfaction. I want to tell you something, neighbor. When it's all said and done, we shall be victorious. I tell you, we may lose a few rounds in the fight, but I know that a knockout is coming one day. Amen. And we are going to be victorious. How? Because of us? No. I won't tell you the battle's already been won. The victory has already been secured, and it's already been written down in an eternal agreement. Amen. Based upon what he did, and he's sitting there right now at the right hand of the throne of the Father, the praying for you and me so that it comes about according to his will. Just as he said. Amen. Our Father, we love you. Thank you for the word of God, for the